she's real fine, my 409.
This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing on 105.3 The Fan.
Well, I saved my
good morning. Welcome to the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing, with your host, David Blassingame.
Good morning.
Tammy Pickard.
Giddy up.
JP, who we like to call Snuggles.
What up?
Are you Snapchatting
that's
again?
Live chat is what that's called. Oh. Live chat.
Oh my gosh, you're so good at that. Actually, our Autoflex Leasing fan texters call it Snug Chat because Snuggles is always on Snapchat. He tried to show me how to work it. I'm not real good, but if you want to be friends, it's at Sybil1037. Does Autoflex have a Snapchat yet?
We don't.
No, but you are on Twitter.
We are.
And on the Facebook.
We are.
Are you on the Instagram?
Yes.
All right. At Autoflex.
The Instagram.
Yeah.
The Snapchat.
Twitter.
You sound like you're my granddad.
I know. That's why I said it.
Are you going to the Walmart?
You can also go to the website at autoflex.com. Or if you want to give us a call, 877-881-1053. That's the number to the studio. And if you want to call Autoflex, they're open today at both locations. What are those numbers, David?
Either 817 or 972-234, 1234, 888-234-1234. If you're out of the area, as always, you can go to autoflex.com and you can read along or see a lot of the stories that we're doing on the air today. Also, a lot of cool videos and stuff, especially this last week, a lot of stuff from the Detroit International Auto Show. Some really, really cool videos of some new cars that are coming out.
So coming up a little later in the show, about 9:45, we're going to talk about how self-driving cars can cost you money, even if you don't have one. But first, what kind of gas should you put in your car?
You know, this is sort of a, who cares, but everybody should care. Everyone's car is designed to use a certain kind of fuel, and it's specified in your owner's manual. Sometimes there's stickers on the gas door or on the side to tell you, but here's how fuel breaks down. You've got regular gas, which is 87 octane. You've got mid-grade gas, which is 89 octane. And then you've got premium grade gas, which is 91 or 93 octane. Now, what is octane? The octane rating shows how slowly the gas will explode when it's in your engine. Because gas explodes. What happens is your engine mixes gasoline and air and compresses it. And while it's compressed, a spark ignites it, and that causes your engine to run. That's what powers your engine. Well, if you have a higher compression engine, it produces more power, but it also makes the gasoline ignite prematurely. So they put additives in the gasoline to retard its pre-ignition. And so the higher the octane rating, the more the gasoline is retarded. The ignition is retarded. So if your engine requires premium, and it says premium required in this car, you got to buy premium fuel. If you don't, you'll have a bit of a knock. It probably won't be a big problem because most engines have anti-knock sensors now, and they adjust when you do that. But you're not going to get as good a gas mileage.
What was the – I asked Tammy a long time ago because the Lexus I got through Autoflex requires premium gas. And I said, but what if I don't want to – by that. Remember what you said? I said, what if I can't afford premium gas?
Then you can't afford the Lexus.
That's exactly what she told me. I was like, all right.
Don't start talking to me about payments when you want 20-inch rims and a sport package because you're asking for additional maintenance costs later on. So people really need to kind of think about the full. Anyway, yeah. The full deal, the whole Monty,
Okay,
package.
So. Mm-hmm. If you have a car that says it can use regular grade fuel, then burn regular grade fuel. Your car actually will not run any better if you buy more expensive fuel.
Yeah, don't, like, if it's Christmas and you're feeling generous to your car, don't put premium in it for waste.
No. Doesn't do any good. Yeah. Now, here's the little secret, guys. The mid-grade gasoline just makes the gas selling company
more
suckers.
Money. It's for suckers.
Yeah. Your car will either take premium or it will take regular. If you buy the mid-grade, you just paid a little more.
It's marketing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ew. Look, it's on sale.
I always think when I see those numbers, the 87, 89, 91, and 93, I always think that was the year that the gasoline was made.
No.
Oh. No. But that's a fun one to think.
It is. This is
Here's
vintage.
The other thing. All gasoline have detergent additives. All of it does. So it's all designed to help your car run better because it keeps your fuel injectors clean and all that neat stuff. Now, if you've got one of those cars that has a yellow gas stamp on the cap itself that says E85, then your car can run on E85.
Now, or the other gas, too? Or, well, the, or just regular?
Yeah, or just regular.
Both. Okay.
Now, here's the thing about E85. E85 is actually gasoline with ethanol in it, and it hurts your gas mileage. Your gas mileage can vary as much as 25% lower with E85. So even though E85 may cost a little bit less, your gas mileage is a lot less.
So it's a wash, just about.
If you've got a car that says it will run on E85, you can run regular gasoline in it, and it won't hurt it. If you're at a pump that says E85 and you put it in a car that won't run on E85, you'll screw the engine up.
Well, it's not good for all the little rubber
components
that are within your fuel system. I'm guessing, David, a car that takes E85 has probably not put a bunch of those rubber components in the fuel delivery system, I would hope.
Well, yeah, exactly. Engines that are designed for E85, are the seals are different than the regular gasoline cars. E85 is something that was begun by the corn industry as a way to sell off bulk corn. And a couple of senators passed a bill that said, hey, we're going to add ethanol to gasoline and we'll use less oil that way. Well, that argument doesn't work anymore because now we've got more oil than we can use. In fact, I think it closed at $29.58 a barrel yesterday, which is the lowest it's been since 2003.
Wow.
Yeah.
Corn is the filler food.
It is.
You notice it's a filler for everything. So they're just filling the gas, too, aren't they?
Yeah.
So finally, in the United States, diesel is diesel, basically. And so if you have a diesel engine, you put diesel fuel in it. If you have a gasoline engine,
no putty diesel.
If you do, you will screw up your engine.
No putty gas in the diesel either.
And that'll really screw up a diesel. If you put gasoline in a diesel, it is not a good deal. It's thousands of dollars to fix it.
That just means you didn't want that car anymore.
Exactly.
What
got
if it's
tired of it?
Just one tank. Like you loan your friend your car and they accidentally put the wrong gas in it.
One job.
It's a bad deal.
That's
trust me.
Pressure.
I have a customer that now has an F1 or F250 diesel that is in the shop because someone put gasoline in his diesel. And he didn't do it, he says. Mm. It ruined the fuel system in the truck. I think it's $8,000 to get it fixed.
Yeah.
The good news is his insurance is covering it because it's vandalism. So his insurance is actually covering it, but it's still he's without a truck.
Yeah.
For like 2 weeks.
Speaking of trucks, AutoFlex Leasing fan texter 43733 says driving a Silverado 6.2 liter requires high octane fuel due to the compression ratio. It took me a year to realize that, and I now have to pay 40 cents more per gallon for the rest of my ownership.
Okay, that's an individual kind of a thing. I wasn't aware of that, but that's great information. Again, we've got the smartest listeners in the world.
And he says, does this mean I can use regular octane instead of premium?
Well,
flex fuel, or we'll get back to you on that.
Okay, yeah.
We don't need a bunch of dead air while we figure it out.
No, I'm going to have to check. Normally.
Plus, the way these texts come in, you have to kind of read it upside down.
Normally, I know you can run regular gasoline in an E85 engine. I don't have anything that says you've got to run premium gas in there.
Okay.
So, for what it's worth.
Look at your manual. Your owner's manual is going to tell you it's probably inside the gas door.
Go online.
Yep.
Go online, Google it. You'll find out.
Yeah, but don't believe everything you read, just so you know.
What are the reviews on the new Canyon pickup with a diesel engine?
The reviews on the new Canyon pickup are great. I don't know about the diesel engine. I've not driven one. I know that the reviews I've read online on the truck itself are really, really good.
That was from Bobby the Trucker in Oklahoma.
Listen, I have a lot of people that wonder why General Motors won't build a diesel Suburban. Anybody know out there, any of our AutoFlex Leasing fan texters know why GM won't build a diesel Suburban?
Diesel fuel systems are more expensive to build. The new EPA regulations make them even more expensive to build. It costs them money to put diesel in a Suburban because a Suburban is one of their highest profit vehicles.
Okay, disregard AutoFlex Leasing fan texters. David had the answer, and it does make sense. But
that's
if anybody
true.
Else can chime in, I'd certainly be interested to know. I actually have a neighbor whose father converted his Suburban to a diesel. He's an engineer, mechanic, he can do anything. So he took a diesel engine out of a truck and converted his Suburban because he hauls a big old travel trailer all over.
Well, and here's the thing.
U.S. and Canada. Alaska.
That diesel engine will run for 300,000, 400,000 miles. Very little maintenance necessary. It's great. Gas is so cheap right now.
Well, yes.
That there's not much motivation.
Probably when he did this, gas might have been a little higher.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break. Go gas up. We'll be back with more Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Auto Flex Leasing.
We're back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Auto Flex Leasing.
Welcome back. This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Auto Flex Leasing with David Blessingame, Tammy Pickard, Snuggles, and me, Sybil. Phone number 877-881-1053 or send us an Auto Flex Leasing fan text at 43733. And as always, Auto Flex is open today. Even in this torrential rain that we're going to have, y'all are open. What are the numbers, David?
Either 817 or 972-234-1234, 888-234-1234 out of the area. You know, these torrential rain days are great for Auto Flex because most people that shop with us do so by phone.
Mm-hmm.
And we do most of the work up front. So you can call, tell us what you want to look at. We can do a lot of the work by phone. You do not have to get out and muck around place to place to look at cars. Simply give us a call at AutoFlex and we'll do all the work.
Yes, indeed. You can also go online to AutoFlex.com.
Correct.
AutoFlex Leasing Fan Texter. This is a question we get quite a bit. I drive 150 miles per round trip to work per day, and my kids live in Oklahoma, so I do a lot of weekend traveling. My point is, I drive a lot of miles. Would I qualify for a lease?
This is a really, really good question, and here's why. Most people, the argument you always hear is, well, I drive too many miles to lease.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people drive too many miles not to lease, and here's why. No one ever calls me and says, hey, have you got a great three-year-old car that's got 75,000 miles on it? They don't.
Right.
Nobody wants a high-mile car when they're buying a pre-owned car. So most people go out, they look at cars. The prices are high. They have to finance for 6 years, maybe even 7 years, to get a payment they can afford. And they start driving the car, like these folks do, a lot of miles. 3 years into the deal, they've got a car that's got 75,000 miles on it. They've got three more years on the loan. They are way upside down. And now the car is starting to break and cost them money.
This person would have $120 on it after 3 years.
Exactly.
They're driving probably 40,000 miles a year at that rate.
So what you do is, you set up a lease for the right number of miles so that at the end, you simply trade cars. Your payments are higher, but you're not thousands and thousands of dollars upside down when you need to trade. You've made a little higher payment, but you get to trade when you need to, not when you can not afford to again.
So, yeah, AutoFlex will structure your lease. I think in my new car, I've already put 22,000 miles on it, and I've had it for just over a year, so I feel your pain, sir, but they can certainly suit your needs if you just call and tell them what you want.
And the other thing is you'll really get some good advice because if leasing doesn't make financial sense for your situation, then we can show you another option. We do it all.
That's right.
By the way, I'm wondering who has seen the really lowest prices out there on gasoline. I read this morning that someone had seen $1.68 a gallon.
Is it true?
With oil where it is right now, it could go lower than that, considerably lower. And that's, we'll talk about that a little later in the show.
Is this going to change your next car buying decision?
I don't ever look at it. I just go, whenever my fuel light comes on, I go to the next gas station I see.
Oh, so you don't really pay that much attention to the cost of it? You just know it's a need.
I need gas, so I better pull over and get it.
3 to 5 cents here and there isn't that big a deal if you do it from time to time.
Right. I mean, if there's two gas stations, one on either side of the road, and I see one has, 3 cents cheaper, I'll go to that one.
What about for a penny? Do you go the other direction for a penny?
Am I going to have to turn left going into or leaving? No.
Yes.
Nope. Okay. I'll stay on the right side for a penny extra.
What is your tipping point for making a difficult left turn in front of traffic?
Yes, exactly.
All right.
Let's get into what consumers are looking for in cars, because IBM did a new study.
They did. IBM did a study. They surveyed 16,000 people worldwide, and they found out a couple of things that I thought were sort of surprising. They found out that worldwide, 42% of people would consider alternative ownership modes, such as subscription pricing or sharing a car with someone else. 24% said they were very interested in fractional ownership. Now, I've thought about that for, people do that on airplanes. But on cars, I never really thought about it. Ooh, $1.47.
Listen, as soon as we asked you guys about the gas prices, it blew up.
Yeah. So the lowest we've seen so far is $1.47 at the QT off Clifford Road and 820. That's cheap, guys.
Hey, listen, Gary in Arlington, telling us that your mom paid $1.53 in Watauga. We want to hear direct from your mom, not hearsay. All right?
Okay. $1.52 great. In Terrell, says that AutoFlex leasing fan texter.
Wow.
Okay, cheap. Back to the report from IBM. 39% of the people surveyed said they would consider car sharing, and 36% said they would consider on-demand car sharing. So that would be where you could hail. It's sort of like a Uber car, only it would be a car that you share with other people. While globally, 67% of those surveyed agreed it's still important to buy a car from a car dealership. We can talk about that later also. Really because some of the manufacturers are really, really trying to push to eliminate the franchise dealer system because they make more money if they do. They do a lousy job of that, by the way, but they do make more money.
What happens if you share a car with somebody and they crash it?
There you go. We can talk about that.
Everybody's kind of goofed up then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then what about your friendship or your partnership?
AutoFlex Leasing fan text. Fractional ownership. It's called a marriage.
Oh, streaming from Austin. I'd like to know who's the furthest away listener. So far, it's Austin. The streamer has seen less than $1.50 there in Austin.
He's a streamer.
Nice.
Hey, $1.46 in West Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Cheap enough.
All right. So
moving right along. Finally, people would like to have their vehicles have an optimization feature to their navigation so that they could get to where they're going as quickly as possible. We use Waze. It works. They want warnings ahead for vehicle wear, or they want warnings ahead for road conditions so that before their vehicle actually stops because of something breaking, it reminds them they need to get something looked at.
Oh, well, I have, my engine oil life gives you, 50% oil life. Isn't that good enough?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, that's what they're talking about.
All right.
Yeah. And finally, and this I thought was interesting, 37% of those surveyed said they'd like to be in on the design of new cars. They want to crowdsource the design. There's way too much money being spent by manufacturers on research and development of new cars to listen to anything you want. I'm just saying.
All right, so here's an AutoFlex Leasing fan texter. Electric vehicles are the future, and this is coming from an oil and gas executive.
Dun, 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 dun. I think they're certainly the near side future. I'm not sure they're the long term future.
Yeah, well, we do have a future story about electric vehicles, so you guys are going to stay tuned to hear who's coming out with the next electric vehicles and if they'll give Tesla a run for their money for sure. I paid $1.31 in Houston yesterday. Well, yeah, they're closest to the oil down there, aren't they?
Right, they're right down there by the
right by the refineries.
$1.41 in Prosper off $3.80 if you pay cash.
Oh, and don't forget, if you shop at Kroger, you get your points.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll let mine build up. Sometime I got $1 a gallon off the other day.
What?
I felt like they owed me money before it was all said and done.
CB.
I mean, if gas gets cheap enough and I've got $1 a gallon off discount, they will owe me money. That'd be weird.
CB in Burleson says the Kroger in Burleson ran 20 cents off their sale from $1.57. Plus, he added in his Kroger points for another 20 cents. So he got it for $1.17.
Man.
That's just what you're talking about.
Cheap enough.
They're going to owe you money. AutoFlex Leasing Fantaster. Waze is cool, but a battery hog.
Absolutely.
True. You
is.
Do have to plug in the phone.
You got to keep your phone plugged in if you're going to be Wazing. AutoFlex Leasing fan texter, hydrogen, yes.
Yeah.
Hydrogen is probably the long-term future, but not the near-term because of the distribution system. We don't have a way to distribute hydrogen yet. Electricity is easier.
Yeah. 2.25 in Oregon. You're the furthest away listener, and it's always much higher on the West Coast. You know,
taxes.
Fuel.
Mm-hmm. That makes me appreciate.
So there's this fuel tax.
What we have then.
A little bit more.
Yeah.
We always have to see how somebody else has it worse. Of course, it's awfully beautiful there, and they don't have to run their air conditioning, and they don't have giant electric bills.
And it's probably freezing today, just like it is here.
Probably.
Ian also chimed in and said he's listening from Washington, D.C.
Oh, that's cool.
So that might be just as far
as
Oregon.
Right? Oil and gas isn't going away. Consumption will just be centralized. Look at battery technology. We have got some investment advice here for you people. Basically.
AutoFlex Leasing Fan Text, $1.39, $3.80 in Paloma Creek, 7-Eleven.
Well, I'm not driving halfway to Oklahoma.
That's cheap. Autoflex Leasing Fan Text. Love the ways it sees the popo. It does. Oh, yeah. It does show you where the police are. Okay.
There's a lot of good things about Waze.
So one of the things that has come as a result of the low gasoline prices is the auto industry's CAFE requirements are slowing down. You know, up until this year, cars had gotten better and better mileage every year, and cars are still getting better and better mileage. But now the mix of cars being sold has changed a great deal. People are buying trucks and SUVs and CUVs because it gives they're better utility vehicles. That's why they call them utility vehicles. But they don't get as good a gas mileage. So when you look at the broad spectrum of a manufacturer's offering, they're selling more trucks and less small cars. Now, here's another secret. They make a lot more money on the trucks. So they develop, if you start looking at the ads, you're going to notice that there's more truck ads and SUV ads than there is four-door sedan ads. Why? Because that's where they make their money, folks. But the reality is, people aren't buying fuel-efficient cars right now because fuel doesn't cost that much. Now, fuel goes back to $4 a gallon. All bets are off. Everybody parks their SUVs, and they buy, you know, an Econobox. But we're not there. Where we are right now is gas is going down, 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 and more people are buying trucks and SUVs, and the EPA is scratching their head over how to get us to their 54.5 mile per gallon by 2025 because people aren't buying cars that get better gas mileage. They're buying cars that serve them better.
So how are they going to cheat the system, Dave?
Yeah, I don't. You know, they've got fuel credits, which is the most ridiculous thing in the world.
Pay attention to this, people.
It's the most ridiculous thing in the world if you think about the EPA's mission being to lessen the amount of pollution that goes into the air. Tesla has only made money in one quarter since its inception. One quarter. And it was the quarter that they sold their fuel credits to Bentley, Land Rover, and to Rolls-Royce.
Now, explain what a fuel credit is, Dave.
Well, if you produce a car that doesn't pollute at all, an electric vehicle, you actually can build up credits. And that was designed for manufacturers to be able to produce X number of electric cars and X number of gasoline cars and still be able to sort of reach the goals that the EPA set. But it hadn't worked out that way.
It's a balance sheet thing.
It's money.
Really?
So Bentley, Rolls-Royce, Land Rover, they simply write Tesla a gigantic check and they buy those fuel credits and then they take those fuel credits and they spend them at the EPA and they don't have to build a more fuel-efficient car.
Like, here, I've got this credit over here so I can still have my 15 miles per gallon cars, right? Right. It's money.
It is money.
Is
it's all money.
Baloney.
Avoiding the S ending there.
We got another Autoflex Leasing fan texter checking in. He says, I'm the farthest listener in Brookhaven, Massachusetts.
Oh.
Gas here is $1.65.
Oh.
That's impressive. I would have thought it was way more expensive up north.
Gasoline prices are set more by taxation than they are by distance. So distance has very little to do with what you pay for your gasoline. The taxes that your state charges has more to do with it than anything else. That's why gasoline in Oregon and California are terribly, terribly high. There's not a lot of state taxes in Massachusetts.
On the gas.
Right.
All right.
Interesting.
We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back with more Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
Autoflex Lease, oh yeah.
This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing with David Blassingame, Tammy Pickard, Snuggles, and me, Sybil. Phone number 877-881-1053. Or shoot us an Autoflex Leasing fan text at 43733. Or you can call Autoflex. They're open right now. Both locations. What are those numbers, David?
Either 817 or 972-234-1234. 888-234-1234 out of the area. It's hard to say that phone number. It's just so confusing.
But it's so easy to remember. It's hard to say, easy to remember.
And if you go to autoflex.com, you can actually go and look at all of our great Save Money Monday cars. And those cars will be on sale on Monday. Those are the cars that will go over the river and through the woods to the auction on Tuesday if you don't buy them on Monday. Now, we know we're going to get wholesale for them at auction. So we mark them down to the public. We offer them one day a week. Save Money Mondays. You can see that at autoflex.com. Click on the Manager Specials page.
That's right. Let's get into Fiat Chrysler, because they are, and a little bit of hot water.
Sort of. There's a group out of central United States and in the East Coast, Napleton Automotive. Napleton owns 50 different dealerships, so they're a very large, large dealer group. And Napleton has filed suit against Fiat Chrysler, accusing them of racketeering.
What?
Yes. Now, what could cause that? Well, it could be caused by a Fiat Chrysler America representative offering to pay someone at Napleton to show cars as sold before they're really sold, and then take them out of the sold category within 24 hours so the warranties don't start. That way, Fiat Chrysler can show inflated numbers of sales. So they can say, ah, the new little buzzkill, or whatever you want to call that car, it sold 24,000 last month.
The buzzkill.
Which, in reality, it didn't really sell 24,000. They paid a bunch of dealers to show those cars as being sold.
Do y'all lease the new Fiat Buzzkill at Autoflex?
No, we don't. So here's the thing. This has gone on for years. Stair-step bonuses cause this kind of thing, and that is where a dealer is paid money retroactively for pushing a certain model car. And it doesn't really matter which model car, which manufacturer. They all work basically the same. If you sell 100 of these, we're going to give you $100 a car all the way back to number one at the end of the month. If you sell 200, we're going to give you $200 a car all the way back to the first car. So when you go in to negotiate for the car, you guys don't know about that as being the public, but the dealer does, and he knows he's going to get a big rebate. So what happens if he's three cars short of hitting that 100 cars at the end of the month?
He wouldn't lie.
Oh, he might. He might punch those cars and show them as sold and then unsell them the next day so that the warranties don't start, but he would qualify for the bonus. Now, if a dealer were to do this, the manufacturer would be very upset and might want to sue them and certainly would want their retro money back because the dealer didn't actually qualify for the retro bonus. In this case, though, Fiat Chrysler was offering Napleton money to show these cars sold so they could inflate their sales numbers and claim in advertising and so forth that the cars were selling extremely well. So it's an interesting thing because it's something that dealers have done from time to time and manufacturers have done from time to time. This drags it all out into the sunlight, and it makes it really sort of appear sort of seamy, you know?
Yeah.
Sort of schemey.
Someone on our Autoflex Leasing fan texter says the Fiat Buzzkill does not have any cup holders.
Oh, I like that.
So true. Or a radio.
Right.
Okay, this next story is particularly important, and I happened to experience this earlier in the week.
I can't imagine that.
Yeah, right?
Okay, so what do you do if you lock your keys in your car and you're not a member of the American Automobile Association?
AAA.
Yeah, you know, you're in deep trouble.
Kimchi. Deep kimchi.
It is, because you're sort of screwed. And a lot of people now have keyless ignitions. So they're not necessarily, they don't have to open the door with a key. So they can get in and out. They don't have to take the key out of the car when they leave. Sometimes they leave the key in the car and they lock the doors.
I've done that. Yep. But this week I was locked out of my own bedroom.
Well, there you have it.
Yeah, I accidentally, I guess, hit the lock on the way out and shut the door behind me. And next
thing
you know.
Did you kick it open like a cop?
No, but we picked it.
AAA will not help you, by the way, if you lock yourself out of your bedroom. Oh. Okay. So the first thing is, if you lock yourself out and you're in a bad place, it's dark, it's scary, call 911. Take out your phone and call 911. Get somebody there to make you feel safe. That's the first thing.
What if your phone is also locked in your car?
Then you're screwed.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you got to flag down somebody driving by.
I'm going to go ahead and tell you how that deal works. This was back in my Ford Edge.
Uh-oh.
And I'd set my purse in my car that had my phone in it, and I was going to unload some things. And do you know that if the door gets really close to being closed, it just closes itself?
Apparently. It latches.
Yeah.
So there I am with my purse and my phone and all that inside the car, and I'm standing there. I'm in the grocery store parking lot. It's lunchtime. I'm just like beside myself, and here comes a lady pushing her car, and I was like, can you please let me borrow your cell phone? Because I've just locked all my stuff in my car, and I pointed, and she looked at me. She just handed me her phone. There you go. And I called my sweetheart who came with the other key.
Oh,
and it was summertime. It was hot.
Yes. So you're nice and sweaty.
I went back into the store.
That's a good idea.
I couldn't spend anything though. My purse was in the car.
Okay.
You were just loitering.
I was.
Just loitering.
Anyway, so be careful about that.
So first of all, if you have a propensity to do that, lock your keys in your car, AAA might be a really good thing to have. Because they do have a roadside assistance program. Allstate has a roadside assistance program. There's a lot of them with roadside assistance. When you get your car, like when people get cars from Autoflex, a lot of times they'll buy an extended warranty with a car, and it will come with roadside assistance. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. All of those do require, though, that you have your telephone with you. I will say that.
Well, everybody has one.
Access to a
phone. Don't worry.
Yeah, that is true.
Anybody walking past you will have a phone.
Now, there are some manufacturers that actually have programs that will open your car for you. So if you have a GM car with OnStar, or the Mercedes program, those programs can open them up from the factory, basically. So you call an 800 number, you say, I've locked my keys in my car, and they unlock your car. Once they verify you're you, they unlock your car for you. And so then you're done. Now, beyond that, call a tow truck. I mean, it's going to cost you a few bucks, but it gets you out of a bad space. And you can have the car taken to a dealer who can then make another key for it. Make sure you take it to the same dealer, the same manufacturer. Temporary keys. Sometimes a dealer can make a temporary key according to the model and the year of the car that will actually open the door to your car. Now, it won't probably start the car, but it will get you in, so then you can get your regular keys. An extra key. A lot of controversy about this, but you can just put like a little magnetic key holder somewhere on the outside of your car so that you know where it is. Nobody else knows. Don't put it over the left front wheel, by the way. That's where everybody puts it. And put a key. You know, keep an extra key hidden on your car.
But if you've got these newer cars with keyless go, you can't, because then the key will be right there and it'll never lock. So right. I don't know. Be careful.
Yes.
But with keyless go, you really shouldn't lock your keys in your car.
You can always keep a spare key, like if you're a woman, in your purse. You know, things like that.
What if you're a man? You could keep it in your purse.
At your office, you know, somewhere. And finally, worst case scenario, call a locksmith.
Okay.
You'll have to call a locksmith that actually specializes in making keys for cars with radio keys, and there's plenty of them out there. It's going to cost you at least a couple $100 to get an extra key, though.
Mm-hmm. All right, listen to this. The battery died on, this is an Autoflex leasing fan texter. Battery died on my CX-5, that's a Mazda, and the fob wouldn't work. That's the little keyless thing that opens it. Neither auxiliary keys would open the door. Contacted Travis, who leased, at Autoflex, who leased me my car, and he set me up with Mazda Roadside Assistance. Excellent.
Very good.
That was one of our clients. Excellent.
I love this Autoflex leasing fan texter. My mother locked my 6-month-old son in the car and completely freaked out, so when a stranger offered help, he came up, opened the door, and he walked around to the passenger side, which was already unlocked. Oh, Mom.
Well, I can see that. You know, you try the first one, you automatically freak out, thinking you've done absolutely the worst possible thing
and the
a grandparent
inside.
Could imagine doing.
Yeah,
yes.
Probably screaming.
Okay, here we are. Little commercial for Raymond here. I am Raymond, Raymond's locksmith, and yes, AAA will actually come and open your bedroom door if your house is, if you're locked out of your bedroom.
If you're a premier member.
If you're a premier member, yes.
Awesome.
That's the platinum package right there.
Mm-hmm.
But you picked it with a bobby pin.
Yeah.
Or a toothpick or something.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Credit card.
One other thing. A lot of people don't know this, but you can open all the windows and the sunroof on your car from your key fob.
Oh.
A whole bunch of cars actually do this. If you looked at like Acura and Audi and BMW and Ford and Honda Infiniti and Lincoln and Nissan and Mini and Cadillac.
So not very many.
Yeah, they all do this. If you push your key fob, you can push the
unlock
button
twice
and hold it down the second time. It'll roll all the windows down at once.
It's awesome. I used to show people when I had my Nissan Maxima, that was one of my, I always tended to lease more of whatever I was driving at the time.
Right.
Right? Because you just knew it inside and out.
Yep.
And if you liked it, you're a big fan. And so I tried to drive every kind of car so I would be able to easily explain how cars, you know, it's a personal experience.
Mm-hmm.
So I loved showing people that, especially in the summer. Now watch this. You can let all the heat out of your car. It's my favorite thing.
That is impressive.
It's called Global Open Windows. That's what it's called. And you can look it up in your owner's manual if you have it, or you can go online and do what I do with everything, Google it. and you can find out whether your car has it or not. But it is cool, especially in the summer when your car is 140 degrees on the interior and you just want to let the hot air out before you get in.
Right.
Yeah.
This Auto Flex Leasing fan texter says his keyless car's doors won't lock if the keys are in it.
Yep.
Good for you, buddy. All right, we're going to take a quick break.
Yours won't either.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah.
We'll be back with more Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Auto Flex Leasing.
Auto Flex Lease, oh yeah.
This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Auto Flex Leasing.
Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Auto Flex Leasing with your host, David Blassingame, Tammy Pickard, JP, a.k.a. Snuggles, the Snuggle Monster, and me, Sybil. Our phone number here, 877-881-1053, or you can send us your AutoFlex Leasing fan texts at 43733. And if you're in the market for a new or certified pre-owned vehicle, call AutoFlex. They're open right now. Both locations, the numbers are?
Either 817 or 972-234-1234, 888-234-1234. I'll cover a fan texter's question at the same time. We can help you whether you have credit that is really, really not good, or credit that's absolutely perfect. Now, the program you qualify for is going to be determined by your credit score, as it is everywhere you go. So if you do not have credit that's quite good enough to lease right now, maybe we can put you in a flex buy, which is it's like a lease, but it's on a pre-owned car. And then when your credit does reach that level, we can flip you into a lease if you would like, or maybe lease the car to you that you're driving right now, because AutoFlex leases brand new cars. We lease pre-owned cars. We also sell pre-owned cars, and then we have the FlexBuy program, which sort of combines the best world of leasing and buying in one program for you.
Perfect. So a long time ago, we talked about the Dodge Charger having a new Hellcat, and I said I was going to change my name to Hellcat Summers because I love that name.
Oh, that's a good one.
The Hellcat. It just sounds tough and powerful.
It does, in fact.
Yeah.
Yes.
And okay. Now they're making another version of it.
That's right. Mike Manley, the CEO of Jeep, came out at the Detroit Auto Show and said that they are going to put the 707-horsepower Hellcat engine in a Jeep Grand Cherokee. They don't know whether they're going to call it the Jeep Hellcat or the Jeep Trackhawk. I personally vote for the Jeep, the Jeep Hellcat. But that is going to be a 707-horsepower track runnable Jeep Grand Cherokee. That's really cool.
I'd call it the Jeep Here Kitty Kitty.
Yeah.
Okay.
The
Ford,
Cherokee Here Kitty.
All of this happened this last week at the Detroit Auto Show. Ford announced four new SUVs, and that's going to be covering the Lincoln and the Ford brand. And they're going to be made off platforms that they've currently got, maybe a platform from Europe and bringing it over. But they're going to be the smaller size SUVs because they tend to make a lot of money because they sell really well.
CUVs, maybe?
Yep,
and they're
CUVs.
Supposed to be brand new, not redesigned existing vehicles that we have here, correct?
Right.
All right.
And they're going to be totally new. And the big news, maybe, from Jeep is there is going to be a Wrangler pickup. In 2017, Jeep says they will have a Wrangler pickup. It's going to be made here in the United States. And they haven't decided exactly what floor it will sit on, but it is... they had some pictures, conceptual pictures. They were cool. They were a Jeep Wrangler with a pickup bed.
I need to go look it up then, because I picture it looking like the Honda Avalanche. You know, it's just
the Honda Ridgeline.
Yes.
Right.
It'll be different. They used to have a Jeep truck.
Well,
the Comanche way back when I sold them.
Yeah. Huh. And Honda has come out with a new Ridgeline for 2017, and they showed that at the Detroit Auto Show, and it's pretty cool also. If you want to see pictures of any of these, you can go to AutoFlex Facebook page, like our Facebook page, please, and we've got pictures of all of these cars and some videos. Hey, if you're driving a Subaru Forester, an Outback, a Legacy, an Impreza, a Crosstech, there is a good chance, if you've got the right engine, that you can get a lot more warranty than you really think you've got. Subaru now has agreed to increase the warranty on these cars. The cars with a 2.5-liter engine in the 2011 and 2014 Forester, the 2013 Legacy, the 2013 Outback, and the 2.0-liter 2012 and 2013 Impreza, and the 2013 XV Crosstech. Here's why. They burn oil. They've got bad oil rings in them, and they have been burning oil for a while. Subaru had really not come out and admitted this. Now they have, so here's what they're offering. If you've got one of those cars, they're going to increase your warranty from 5 years and 60,000 miles to 8 years and 100,000 miles. They're going to pay 100% of your vehicle's cost for repairs, parts and labor, rental cars, towing, and the cost of up to 6 quarts of oil per vehicle. And they're going to provide free oil consumption test and technical service bulletins for owners or lessors of defective vehicles. So if you're driving one of those Subarus, hey, you're going to get taken care of on the deal, finally. Another quick story that I read online this week, self-driving cars to drain millions of dollars from city and state coffers. I had not even considered this. Self-driving cars don't break the law. There are some cities out there that draw up to 30% of their total revenue to run the city off traffic enforcement. Self-driving cars don't double park. They don't speed.
They won't run any red lights.
They don't run red lights. Mm. They don't run stop signs. So all of that money that the city plans on collecting because we're such horrible drivers, they won't get. Because self-driving cars don't break.
Then the police can go fight crime, real crime. That's what we need. I am curious, what is everybody's pet peeve about bad driving? Because when I left work the other morning, within less than 20 minutes of driving, because my commute to work is really short, and then my commute at lunch is very short. When I first left the house, somebody ran a red light. And I don't mean the back end of their car was still in the intersection when my light turned green. I mean, my light was green. It had been. I always look left and right, and here comes somebody blowing through the intersection. It happened in the morning, and then it happened at lunchtime. I couldn't believe the very small amount of time I was in my car. And then the second one, this couple had their dog in the car, and he was hanging his head out the window. And then I was really mad because I was like, you could have killed your dog.
Aww.
I knew I could appeal to you somewhere there.
Okay, Autoflex Leasing Fan Texter. What Subarus, again, were you talking about? Well, you should have listened the first time.
No.
Okay, so... Again, the affected cars, 2.5-liter engines in the 2011 through 2014 Forester, the 2013 Legacy and the 2013 Outback, the 2.0-liter engine in the 2012 and 2013 Impreza, and the 2013 XV Crosstrek. So if you've got one of those cars, contact your local Subaru dealer, and they will tell you how to take advantage of their warranties.
And if you didn't write those down, you can probably go to the Autoflex Leasing Facebook page.
You can.
And read all about that story.
You can.
And the other stuff that we didn't even get to, right?
Yeah, Autoflex Leasing Fan Text talking about you could go out and buy a conversion kit for a Jeep to turn one into a pickup. Yeah, in fact, Mopar's offered what they call the JK8 conversion, which was a way to make your Wrangler a pickup, sort of. But this is an actual pickup made to be a pickup out of a Wrangler.
That's interesting, because when I was at the plastic surgeon's office the other day, they had a conversion package makeover.
For your body.
Yep.
Perfect.
Okay.
Kidding.
Everyone out there that knows why your car has a horn, please honk. Well, we can't hear. We're clear up here on the 11th floor. Yeah. Yeah. So the reason cars have horns goes all the way back to 1865 in Great Britain. And in Great Britain in 1865, they made a law that required anyone driving a motorized vehicle to be preceded by a man on foot waving a flag in the daytime or carrying a lantern at night, so that people with horse-drawn carriages or horses would be warned well in advance of someone driving one of those crazy motorized cars.
Wow.
Now think about what it would be like on Central Expressway today if there was a man with a lantern out in front of every car at night going down Central. It's not going to work.
Oh,
so anyway, that was the very first. They called it the Locomotive Act, or the Red Flag Act, by the way. That was the very first regulation on warnings on cars. Now, as time passed, there are different kinds of things started to take place. So as we got into the early 1900s, 1910s, 1920s, things like bells were attached to cars so that they would make noise as they drove. One state actually suggested that motorists shoot a Roman candle off to warn anyone that might be in front of them that there was a horseless carriage approaching.
Well, they need all of these to apply to the electric cars now, David.
Well, they do. They don't make noise.
They need to put little bells hanging from the side mirrors or something.
Don't you remember there's a company that makes a device that goes on your electric car that makes it sound? Yeah, it makes it roar. You can choose the sound to Ferrari, Lamborghini. Anyway, so.
There's an app for that.
Bells, whistles. Remember the hand squeeze, the horns? Ooga, ooga.
On my bicycle.
Those were, well, they had them for cars. That was what they put on cars. So finally, automakers, when things became a little more advanced, settled on a single-tone electric horn, usually an E-flat or a C for anyone in the music business that understands that. Then dual-tone horns were found to better treat, pardon me, you could hear a dual-tone horn better than you could a single-tone horn. So now they've got dual-tone horns, usually an F-sharp and an A-sharp. So now when you hear a horn in a car, you know that it started with a guy walking with a red flag in 1865 in England.
Wow.
That's the first horn.
Like the town crier.
Yes.
Thanks, Dave.
Yeah, and that's the rest of the story.
That's right.
Tammy, you ask people to chime in with their pet peeves when they're driving. This guy says, my pet peeve is when people don't drive the way I would like for them to.
Okay, then I'm right there with you.
Yeah, preach.
I really do have an issue with this red light running. It's rampant. I want to know what's causing it.
So are you saying like the light turns yellow and they floor it and then it turns red as they're crossing underneath it? Because I do
Girl,
that.
Girl, they hadn't
on
even.
On the daily.
They were not even in the intersection when my light was green. I seriously could have run into them if I'm such an exceptionally careful driver.
Right.
I don't go immediately. I know when I'm the first one at the light that some fool is going to try to kill themselves right in front of me and want to involve me in the takedown, and I'm just not doing it.
Autoflex Leasing fan texter. Good morning. What is a better car for me long term, a Camry or an Altima Maxima? Or maybe another suggestion, looking to buy pre-owned. Last car was an 06 Corolla with 268,000 miles on it. Transmission went out last week. Time to trade. Long term?
Well, the choices, you know, you already like Nissan and Toyota. I'm good with those for long-term ownership. They're cars that will last for a long time.
I think from a resale value, even though he's buying a pre-owned car, the Toyota is going to maintain a little bit more value than that Nissan is over the long term.
You think?
Yeah, even pre-owned, it's still going to be
man.
A little
he
bit
He's the man. He knows.
Better.
He does all the trade-in values.
But you're right, Tammy. Those are all good cars.
I think if you're going to drive the wheels off of it like this person, when you get to it, it doesn't matter quite as much. I know you always say that the total cost of ownership is the price you pay going in as well as coming out. But if you're going to drive the wheels off of it, guaranteed.
Doesn't make a lot of difference.
It doesn't make that much difference.
No.
So pick the car you really, really like.
This Autoflex Leasing fan texter says, as a blind listener to the Saturday morning test drive, I couldn't care less how much money it costs for me to finally have freedom and independence to get where I need to get without having to rely on somebody else. I can't wait to finally have a self-driving car.
You know, right? That's the thing. People that are sight impaired, people that are too old to drive,
yeah.
but still can get around some, self-driving cars will allow those people transportation they don't have now.
People who like to drink, hand raised. I need a self-driving car.
People who would rather be driven around, my hand is raised for sure. I'm with you. I'm actually, at first I was fighting it, but now I'm down with it. It's just that everybody has to have the same deal, or you're going to have these communities where when you go in, you have to get into one of those cars. You can't bring your bad driving into the community.
Autoflex Leasing Fantex, thoughts on the Volvo XC90 longevity? I don't know about longevity. I know that is one of the best new cars being released this year. Tremendous, great buzz about that car. You know, Geely took over Volvo, the Chinese company, and everybody was sort of in the air about what would happen. Well, they've actually built a fabulous car with tons and tons of great technology that's available just now. So the Volvo XC90, I don't know how long it'll last, but I can tell you it's a really, really cool car with a lot of good features.
If we didn't have time to answer your question, you can still call Autoflex. They're open right now at either 817 or 972-234-1234 or go online to autoflex.com. We'll be back next Saturday morning at 9 a.m. Thank you to Snuggles for David Blassingame and Tammy Pickard. This has been the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
Thanks for texting in, everybody. Thanks to all the Autoflex Leasing fan texters for keeping us going.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And here's David's.
It's so hard to keep this one. Autoflex Lease, oh yeah.